never the same. Jesus, omnipotent reigns. Jesus, let earth proclaim that all is forgiven in Jesus' name. Here we go.
In Jesus' name.
Every stronghold is broken. Things are possible, yes, it's possible in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the enemy is scattered.
In Jesus' name,
this oppression must
cease. In
Jesus' name, where two or three have gathered, God is with us. In
Talk radio listeners around the world, and to my Running for Christ ministry family, good evening and welcome to another Blog Talk Radio Bible reading class. I am your teacher, Deacon Oliver Welch, and we thank God for everybody tuning in and listening to our broadcast this evening. We ask that you invite your friends, your family, and working associates to join us every Wednesday evening at 6 to 8 p.m. And this church, our Bible reading class is brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. Today's topic will be doing Ezekiel chapters 1 through 5. And before we get started, we got a few little things I want to lay on you as far as how this runs. First thing we're going to do, we're going to listen to the scriptures, then ask the questions at the end. But before we do that, to get access to the questions, go to the website, rfcm.org, and click on the tab in the top right-hand corner, and scroll down, and you'll see the Bible reading class questions. You can either make a copy of them, or you can use your phone or your tablet to answer these questions. And when you answer the questions, you must be in the host queue. And that's the number one on your numeric dial there, or buttons. And you press that when you want to answer a question or a comment. And then you hit the mute button when you're all finished. And that mute button will cut all types of background noises or anything that's in the background. So anyway, before we get started, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for another day of life, Father. We thank you, Father, for your love, your mercy, and undeserved kindness. And we thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ, which makes everything just beautiful and just lovely because we need him. We need him in our lives. As you see on TV and around the world, there's just so much violence and everything that's going on. But Father, you're in control of everything that goes on. We might not understand the reason why things happen as they do, but we know that you're in control of everything that goes on. So we ask you, Father, to open up our minds, our hearts, and our spirits as we listen to these, listen to the scriptures reading, and as we answer these questions. We thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray. Amen. All right, Pastor. We're going to let you go ahead and start the audio of the scriptures. And we will catch you on the other side.
The prophet Ezekiel, chapter 1. In my 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day, while I was among the exiles by the Kabar River, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. On the fifth of the month, it was the fifth year of the exile of King Jehoiachin, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, by the Kabar River in the land of the Babylonians. There the hand of the Lord was on him. I looked, and I saw a windstorm coming out of the north, an immense cloud with flashing lightning and surrounded by brilliant light. The center of the fire looked like glowing metal, and in the fire was what looked like four living creatures. In appearance, their form was human, but each of them had four faces and four wings. Their legs were straight, their feet were like those of a calf and gleamed like burnished bronze. Under their wings, on their four sides, they had human hands. All four of them had faces and wings, and the wings of one touched the wings of another. Each one went straight ahead. They did not turn as they moved. Their faces looked like this. Each of the four had the face of a human being, and on the right side, each had the face of a lion, and on the left, the face of an ox. Each also had the face of an eagle. Such were their faces. They each had two wings spreading out upward, each wing touching that of the creature on either side, and each had two other wings covering its body. Each one went straight ahead. Wherever the spirit would go, they would go without turning as they went. The appearance of the living creatures was like burning coals of fire or like torches. Fire moved back and forth among the creatures. It was bright, and lightning flashed out of it. the creatures sped back and forth like flashes of lightning. As I looked at the living creatures, I saw a wheel on the ground beside each creature with its four faces. This was the appearance and structure of the wheels. They sparkled like topaz, and all four looked alike. Each appeared to be made like a wheel intersecting a wheel. As they moved, they would go in any one of the four directions the creatures faced. The wheels did not change direction as the creatures went. Their rims were high and awesome, and all four rims were full of eyes all around. When the living creatures moved, the wheels beside them moved, and when the living creatures rose from the ground, the wheels also rose. Wherever the spirit would go, they would go, and the wheels would rise along with them, because the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When the creatures moved, they also moved. When the creatures stood still, they also stood still. And when the creatures rose from the ground, the wheels rose along with them, because the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Spread out above the heads of the living creatures was what looked something like a vault, sparkling like crystal and awesome. Under the vault, their wings were stretched out one toward the other, and each had two wings covering its body. When the creatures moved, I heard the sound of their wings, like the roar of rushing waters, like the voice of the Almighty, like the tumult of an army. When they stood still, they lowered their wings. Then there came a voice from above the vault over their heads as they stood with lowered wings. Above the vault, over their heads, was what looked like a throne of lapis lazuli. And high above on the throne was a figure like that of a man. I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like glowing metal, as if full of fire. And that from there down, he looked like fire, and brilliant light surrounded him, like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day. So was the radiance around him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell face down, and I heard the voice of one speaking. Ezekiel 2. He said to me, Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak to you. As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said, Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. And whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious people, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them or their words. Do not be afraid, though briars and thorns are all around you, and you live among scorpions. Do not be afraid of what they say, or be terrified by them, though they are a rebellious people. You must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, listen to what I say to you. Do not rebel like that rebellious people. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Then I looked, and I saw a hand stretched out to me, and it was a scroll, which he unrolled before me. On both sides of it were written words of lament and mourning and woe. Ezekiel 3. And he said to me, Son of man, eat what is before you, eat this scroll. Then go and speak to the people of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. Then he said to me, Son of man, eat this scroll I am giving you, and fill your stomach with it. So I ate it, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. He then said to me, Son of man, go now to the people of Israel, and speak my words to them. You are not being sent to a people of obscure speech and strange language, but to the people of Israel. not too many peoples of obscure speech and strange language whose words you cannot understand. Surely if I had sent you to them, they would have listened to you. But the people of Israel are not willing to listen to you because they are not willing to listen to me, for all the Israelites are hardened and obstinate. But I will make you as unyielding and hardened as they are. I will make your forehead like the hardest stone, harder than flint. Do not be afraid of them or terrified by them, though they are a rebellious people. And he said to me, Son of man, listen carefully and take to heart all the words I speak to you. Go now to your people in exile and speak to them. Say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Whether they listen or fail to listen, then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me a loud rumbling sound as the glory of the Lord rose from the place where it was standing. It was the sound of the wings of the living creatures brushing against each other and the sound of the wheels beside them, a loud rumbling sound. The Spirit then lifted me up and took me away. And I went in bitterness and in the anger of my spirit with the strong hand of the Lord on me. I came to the exiles who lived at Tel Aviv near the Kabar River, and there where they were living, I sat among them for 7 days, deeply distressed. At the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to a wicked person, you will surely die, and you do not warn them or speak out to dissuade them from their evil ways in order to save their life, that wicked person will die for their sin, and I will hold you accountable for their blood. But if you do warn the wicked person, and they do not turn from their wickedness or from their evil ways, they will die for their sin, but you will have saved yourself. Again, when a righteous person turns from their righteousness and does evil, and I put a stumbling block before them, they will die. Since you did not warn them, they will die for their sin. The righteous things that person did will not be remembered, and I will hold you accountable for their blood. But if you do warn the righteous person not to sin, and they do not sin, they will surely live because they took warning, and you will have saved yourself. The hand of the Lord was on me there, and he said to me, get up and go out to the plain, and there I will speak to you. So I got up and went out to the plain, and the glory of the Lord was standing there, like the glory I had seen by the Kabar River, and I fell face down. Then the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet. He spoke to me and said, go, shut yourself inside your house, and you, son of man, they will tie with ropes. You will be bound so that you cannot go out among the people. I will make your tongue stick to the roof of your mouth so that you will be silent and unable to rebuke them. For they are a rebellious people. But when I speak to you, I will open your mouth and you shall say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Whoever will listen, let them listen. And whoever will refuse, let them refuse. For they are a rebellious people. Ezekiel 4. Now, son of man, take a block of clay, put it in front of you, and draw the city of Jerusalem on it. Then lay siege to it, erect siege works against it, build a ramp up to it, set up camps against it, and put battering rams around it. Then take an iron pan, place it as an iron wall between you and the city, and turn your face toward it. It will be under siege, and you shall besiege it. This will be a sign to the people of Israel. Then lie on your left side and put the sin of the people of Israel upon yourself. You are to bear their sin for the number of days you lie on your side. I have assigned you the same number of days as the years of their sin. So for 390 days you will bear the sin of the people of Israel. After you have finished this, lie down again, this time on your right side, and bear the sin of the people of Judah. I have assigned you 40 days, a day for each year. Turn your face toward the siege of Jerusalem, and with bared arm prophesy against her. I will tie you up with ropes so that you cannot turn from one side to the other until you have finished the days of your siege. Take wheat and barley, beans and lentils, millet and spelt, put them in a storage jar, and use them to make bread for yourself. You are to eat it during the 390 days you lie on your side. Weigh out 20 shekels of food to eat each day, and eat it at set times. Also measure out a sixth of a hin of water, and drink it at set times. Eat the food as you would a loaf of barley bread. Bake it in the sight of the people, using human excrement for fuel. The Lord said, in this way the people of Israel will eat defiled food among the nations where I will drive them. Then I said, not so, sovereign Lord. I have never defiled myself. From my youth until now I have never eaten anything found dead or torn by wild animals. No impure meat has ever entered my mouth. Very well, he said. I will let you bake your bread over cow dung instead of human excrement. He then said to me, son of man, I am about to cut off the food supply in Jerusalem. The people will eat rationed food in anxiety and drink rationed water in despair. For food and water will be scarce. They will be appalled at the sight of each other and will waste away because of their sin. Ezekiel 5. Now, son of man, take a sharp sword and use it as a barber's razor to shave your head and your beard. Then take a set of scales and divide up the hair. When the days of your siege come to an end, burn a third of the hair inside the city. Take a third and strike it with the sword all around the city. Then scatter a third to the wind, for I will pursue them with drawn sword. But take a few hairs and tuck them away in the folds of your garment. Again, take a few of these and throw them into the fire and burn them up. The fire will spread from there to all Israel. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. This is Jerusalem, which I have set in the center of the nations, with countries all around her. Yet in her wickedness she has rebelled against my laws and decrees more than the nations and countries around her. She has rejected my laws and has not followed my decrees. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. You have been more unruly than the nations around you and have not followed my decrees or kept my laws. You have not even conformed to the standards of the nations around you. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself am against you, Jerusalem, and I will inflict punishment on you in the sight of the nations because of all your detestable idols. I will do to you what I have never done before and will never do again. Therefore, in your midst, parents will eat their children, and children will eat their parents. I will inflict punishment on you and will scatter all your survivors to the winds. Therefore, as surely as I live, declares the Sovereign Lord, because you have defiled my sanctuary with all your vile images and detestable practices, I myself will shave you. I will not look on you with pity or spare you. A third of your people will die of the plague or perish by famine inside you. A third will fall by the sword outside your walls. And a third I will scatter to the winds and pursue with drawn sword. Then my anger will cease and my wrath against them will subside and I will be avenged. And when I have spent my wrath on them, they will know that I, the Lord, have spoken in my zeal. I will make you a ruin and a reproach among the nations around you in the sight of all who pass by. You will be a reproach and a taunt, a warning and an object of horror to the nations around you when I inflict punishment on you in anger and in wrath and with stinging rebuke. I, the Lord, have spoken. When I shoot at you with my deadly and destructive arrows of famine, I will shoot to destroy you. I will bring more and more famine upon you and cut off your supply of food. I will send famine and wild beasts against you, and they will leave you childless. Plague and bloodshed will sweep through you, and I will bring the sword against you. I, the Lord, have spoken.
And yes, that concludes the reading of the scriptures. And now it is time to answer these questions. And before we do that, I always like to give you a little insight of each book that I do Bible reading class on. And Ezekiel right here says, Ezekiel records his visions of Israel restoration after the exile and in the later days. The Lord promised to gather the Israelites from captivity, returning them to their promised lands renewed, his covenant with them, and reunite the kingdom of Israel and Judea. Okay, and Ezekiel has often been called the father of Judaism. His influence on the future development of Israel religion was, at least for several centuries, greater than that of any of the other prophets. Amen. Okay, here we go, folks. Question number one. How did God communicate with Ezekiel?
I had chapter 1 through 3.
Oh. Okay. 1 through 3 sounds good. That's what I have. Anybody else?
I had just one. So I'm sure it's 2 verses.
Okay. 1 is good. Anybody else? Okay, what we're going to do this time, like we did last week with the laminations, we're going to do, besides 1, we're going to do 1 through 3. So, anyway, could somebody read 1 through 3 for me, please?
On July 31st, on my 30th year, while I was with the Judean exile besides the Kabar River in Babylon, the heavens were open and I saw the vision of God. This happened during the 5th year of King Jehoiakim's captivity. The Lord gave this message to Ezekiel, son of Buzi, a priest beside the Kabar River in the land of Babylonians, and he felt the hand of the Lord take hold of him. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Reese. Appreciate that very much. Any other answers? Okay, if not, we're going to question number 2. Where did the living being come from?
I got chapter 1, verse 5.
Okay. All right. Any other answers?
I have 4 and 5.
Okay. I had 4 through 9.
Okay.
All right. And I'll read that for you.
Okay.
And it goes as follows. As I looked, I saw a great storm coming from the north, driving before it a huge cloud that flashed with lightning and shone with brilliant light. There was fire inside of the cloud. And in the middle of the cloud glowed something like gleaming amber. From the center of the cloud came four living beings that looked human, except that each had four faces and four wings. Their legs were straight, and their feet were hooved like those of a cat and shone like burnishing bronze. Under each of their four wings, I could see human hands. So each of the four beings had four faces and four wings. And the wings of each living being touched the wings of the beings beside it. Each one moved straight forward in any direction without turning around. Now, Blog Talk listeners and Running for Christ family, how would you take something like that? What would you think that would be?
I'd be scared to death. I thought it was a monster.
Okay. But you see, this vision and everything, you know, it's starting off to be symbolic. So as we go further on, as a matter of fact, going further on, let's read the footnotes. And let's see what I got down here. Footnotes. Give me just 1 second. Let's do footnotes 5 through 12, and that'll give us a description of how these beings were, perception was to Ezekiel. Could somebody read footnotes 5 through 12?
Each of the four living beings have four faces, symbolizing God's completeness. Some believe that the lion represented strength, the ox, diligent service, the human, intelligence, and the eagle, divinity. Others see these as the most majestic of God's creatures and say that they therefore represented God's whole creation. The early church fathers saw a connection between these beings and the four gospels. The lion with Matthew, representing Christ as the Lion of Judah, the ox with Mark, portraying Christ as the servant, the human with Luke, portraying Christ as the perfect human, and the eagle with John, portraying Christ as the Son of God, exalted and divine. John's vision, recorded in Revelation 4, parallels Ezekiel's vision.
Okay. See, Pastor, could you give us a little more enlightenment on this vision that Ezekiel had seen?
Let me turn this down. Okay, yeah. What Rebecca just read is exactly where I would have gone to Revelation chapter 4. These are described as heavenly beings. Some people call them cherubim. So we don't really want to ascribe to them anything more than what's here. We're not given that much of a description. But when you see these beings, they are in heaven. They are never as the only cherubim we know on earth, I think, were, excuse me, the ones that God appointed to keep the way of the tree of life from Adam and Eve. Okay, there may be other visions, but I would just go with the ones we see over in Revelation chapter 4, the four living creatures. Some people even say it's the Holy Spirit in charge of everything, covered with eyes, meaning they know and see everything. And, you know, so we pretty much want to just accept it as it is, and that these are heavenly beings and they are doing what they are doing. Because we haven't been given any real conclusive information other than that they exist, when you read Revelation chapter 4, this is a vision of heaven. And these creatures, of course, are mentioned there, and they're mentioned again. Look at verse 6 through, well, 6 through probably 8. And it says, in front of the throne was a shiny sea of glass sparkling like crystal in the center, and around the throne were four living beings, each covered with eyes, front and back. The first of these living beings was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third was like a human face. And the fourth was like an eagle. Now, when you dig even deeper into it, there are those who say the lion was a representation of all of the animal wild kingdom, undomesticated animals. The second, the ox, was livestock, domesticated animals. The third was a human face, all humanity. And the fourth was an eagle covering all the fowl. Because when you get over to chapter 5, everything in creation bows down to the Lord. So there have been many scholars who have ascribed different things to these beings, but I think it's best that we accept what the Lord has given us and what we can understand about them right now, and then wait till we get to heaven and then we'll know perfect. It's just some things in the Bible God have completely left. He gave us this, but he didn't give us everything. So that's my thought on those four living creatures. But it tells you something, that when we get to heaven, boy, we're going to see some stuff. And we are going to know some stuff. I love reading Revelation, because in Revelation, the 24 elders are running things. That's us, the church, in heaven, during the tribulation period.
Yes. All right. Thank you, Pastor, for that information.
Well.
Okay. Deacon Eric in the house. Yes. Okay. Are there any more answers or comments on that? Okay. Question number three.
Oh, yes. I thought that was
wait.
John that was up there seeing all of that.
Well, this is before John. So Ezekiel got a bird's eye view.
I didn't know nobody else got to see all those things. I thought that was just shown to John, different things. I didn't know it was Ezekiel as well until now.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said.
Okay, go ahead, my brother.
Yeah, like I said, Ezekiel was a little bit younger than Jeremiah, but God had him do special things a little bit different than Jeremiah. But also I was reading that Ezekiel, a lot of people think that he was the stepping stone of Judaism and everything. Okay. Okay. Anything else you'd like to add, Deacon?
No, I'm fine. Thank you very much.
You know, as we travel through the Bible, the Lord speaks to more than one person. He'll be speaking to other prophets as we move along.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Mother. How you doing?
Hello, how are you?
Very good. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well, thank you.
Good to hear your voice, my dear. Yes.
Same.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and okay. But we'll notice in each dispensation of time, I know you guys remember when Janice was teaching us. For those who don't know, that's Assistant Pastor Janice Tate. She was teaching us some time ago on covenants and dispensations. And one of the things that I picked up from that teaching was, it's clear, the same thing I picked up in Christian history, that in each dispensation of time, there was a covenant to go along with that dispensation, or maybe two or three. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And covenants are how God deals with us in a particular period of time in history. Okay, and it's so important to understand each one of those dispensations and each one of those times and each one of those covenants. And in each one of those times, God revealed a little bit more of himself. And so what Mother was saying is true, that through these prophets, God always has somebody there to speak to his people wherever they are. And in this case, they've gone to Babylon. The time now is about, I think he wrote between 593, about 4 years after the captivity, which was in 587. So it's about somewhere between 593 and 571 he wrote. But we know who he was, who he was writing to, and we even know his age, because most priests start their priestly duties at age 30. And as soon as he starts his priestly duty, he is called, because on July 31st of my 13th year. So that means now that refers to his birthday, and you know, and priests would usually refer to their birthdays that way, right? And so while I was with the Judean exiles by the Kibar River, now we know he's in Babylon, the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. This happened during the fifth year of Jehoiachin's captivity. So that tells us it was around 593, because this is now the fifth year. So, you know, you read those things and you put together who's talking, what that person's age is in this case, and you get to zero in on exactly when he's doing this, where he is, who he's writing to who, what, where's, and why's, and all of that. And then we even get to find out that he was the son of Buzi, a priest. So his father was a priest. But he is priest, prophet, okay, because now he's definitely prophesying. But at the same time, he's priest. But this now is 593, so that's 4 years after the captivity, which was in 587. And so the people have been there 4 years. He turns his time for him to start serving his priestly duties, and this is what the Lord lays on him to do, to speak to the people. He would be thoroughly familiar with Judaism, the law, because he's a priest, right? And so he can prophesy about those things. He would be familiar with the glory of the Lord, being the Shekinah glory in the temple, because he served where his father did. He would be familiar with those things. And so he was the perfect person for God to use at this time, even though he's a priest, as a prophet. So God will speak to
him. Who is that? Ezekiel, right?
Ezekiel, yeah.
Okay.
He'll use, like Isaiah, he dealt with them before they went to captivity. Jeremiah dealt with them on their way to captivity. Ezekiel and the latter prophets going to deal with them in captivity and after captivity.
Okay. You know, I was seeing that Ezekiel was the son of a priest. So would that automatically make Ezekiel a priest?
Yes, because he is the descendant of Aaron. He's a member of the Aaronic priesthood.
Okay.
Remember,
Aaron's
family descendants all became
the Levites.
And the Levites, they all became those who served in the temple.
Right.
Okay.
Which would be
Aaron's
relatives.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to get
relatives.
Right.
Yeah, but they weren't directly descended from Aaron, but they were relatives.
They were in the family.
Only descendants of Aaron could serve as priests.
Okay.
But his relatives, the Levites, served in the temple.
I mean,
so Aaron's children, those children would all be priests. So when they were born, they already had a job. And when they reached age 30, they would enter into the priesthood.
Okay, but that's sort of like that royal thing with that monarchy thing. You raise
right.
up, you automatically just pick. Okay.
The only difference
I'm just trying to make a comparison
so
I can understand.
Right. The only difference is the time that you start. Like, we know Josiah, he was 8 years old when he began to reign as king.
Okay,
so the age that you start to reign with the king could be your father died, you're 4 years old, you're king.
day.
It's your advisors around you who really running things, but for all intended purposes, you're king. Because he was only eight. An eight-year-old can't be king, so it had to be the people around him who was loyal
right.
to his father. You know,
okay.
so they would be loyal servants to him until he reached the age where he could actually become king, like Jeroboam or Rehoboam. You know, them
how about that? You just sound like one of them Mississippi people. You reached the age.
Right. I thought I slipped that one by.
Yeah, you reached the age.
I thought I got
that.
Away with that one. But anyway, that's my thoughts on that. So, yeah.
Okay.
And have I done question number three yet?
Nope.
No.
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. Well, question number three. Thank you, Pastor, again for the enlightenment. Okay.
I had
number. Go ahead.
Oliver, I had number one, chapter 1, 26 through 28.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's question number three. What did the glory of the Lord look like to Ezekiel? I've got 27 to 28. Mother, would you go ahead and read that, your answer, please?
Okay. Above their surface was something that looked like a throne made of blue lapis lazuli. And on this throne, high above, was a figure whose appearance resembled a man. From what appeared to be his waist up, he looked like gleaming amber, flickering like a fire. And from his waist down, he looked like a burning flame, shining with splendor. All around him was a glowing halo, like a rainbow shining in the clouds on a rainy day. This is what the glory of the Lord looked like to me. When I saw it, I fell face down on the ground, and as I heard someone's voice speaking to me.
Amen. All right.
Hey,
looking at
sidebar
the footnotes
question.
On that. Yes.
Before we get to the footnote, sidebar question. He says, this is what the Lord looked like to me. So that means he saw something. Who did he see?
Mm-hmm.
It had to have been Jesus before he was
remember the man.
I don't know.
I would say that would be Jesus Christ.
That was my thought.
In the Old Testament, when Christ appeared, what is that called?
Starts with an A.
Shekinah.
There's a scripture in the New Testament that says, or a couple of places, where Jesus himself said, no man has seen God at any time. But Ezekiel here is saying that he has seen the glory of the Lord, just like Peter and James and John saw Jesus glorified on the mountain. So who are they seeing here?
A cloud?
Shekinah glory.
One of those... What do they always say? Angel of the Lord.
The word begins with a T.
With a T?
A theophany.
Theophany. A visible manifestation of God the Son.
A theophany, okay.
Visible manifestation of God the Son, the second person of the Godhead.
Yeah.
Appearing in some shape or some form.
Say that word again, Pastor.
A theophany. Baby Holy Ghost, say 126, says it in the footnotes. So now you can get to that footnote.
Okay.
120.
He probably still need you to spell it for him.
Okay.
Hey, well, y'all my favorite critiquing partner.
I like that open so I can see out.
Okay, that footnote. We're going to do 26 and 27 and 28. I'll do 26. This figure whose appearance resembled a man revealed God's holiness and prepared Ezekiel for what God was about to tell him. This figure represents God himself on the throne. In a similar way, Christ revealed God in human form and prepared us for his message of salvation. Christ came into history in a real human body. And then the other footnote says, the glory of the Lord appeared like fire and a glowing halo or rainbow to Ezekiel. Ezekiel fell face down, overwhelmed by the contrast between God's holiness and his sinfulness and insignificance. Evidently, every person will fall before God, either out of reverence and awe for his mercy or out of fear of his judgment. Based on the way you are living today, who will you respond to God? Holiness. Amen.
So he actually saw the glory of God then. Is that right, Pastor?
Yes. He was given a vision of, some people call them beatific visions. When the Lord does that, he wants, you know, because, you know, as you go through this book, it's not going to be easy to be Ezekiel. So if you're going to do a hard work for the Lord, he really needs for you to know he's real. And because if you don't really know he's real, as soon as the devil scare you real good, you're going to run off and not come back. So you remember when John Mark went with Barnabas and Paul on the first missionary journey.
Right.
Well, some things that he saw kind of, you know, caused him to get back, and he didn't keep going forward. But if he had Paul's vision on the road to Damascus and had a conversation with Jesus, then, you know, no matter what happened, he know Jesus told him to go, so he's going. So it is with us. We won't do much for God if we don't. That's why Running for Christ Ministries is set up to be a Bible-teaching church, because fluffy Christians can't do anything for the Lord because they fall apart too easy. All the devil has to do is do something. All he has to do is go to God and say, let me do this to them, take a loved one, make them sick, they can't get well or understand why they can't get well. Let me do something like that, and they'll leave you. They'll turn their back on you. And some won't even mention your name anymore. And so if you're going to do a big work for the Lord or work big for the Lord, then you really need to know he's real. You can't have that fluffy relationship with him, because the devil will just do something. Like, read John chapter 6. These people followed Jesus for food. And the devil didn't even do nothing to them. Jesus just told them something they didn't want to hear, and they all left. He even turned to his disciples and said, will you leave also? But they figured out that he was the word, and it was that word that they needed above everything else. So, no, we hear, we stand. So God's given Ezekiel a reason to keep going. Don't forget what you saw. That's why he was with, look at Jesus' disciples. Even after he rose from the dead, can you believe that when he appeared to them, some doubted? So you see, if you could see all the miracles, people getting up from the dead, Jesus up from the dead, do you have doubt? So that's why we have to stay to show ourselves approved unto God. Because times are getting rough, y'all. And they're going to get rougher. And you're going to have real faith, not go to church faith, but real faith. Because the devil's going to try it. Okay, that's me. I'm through.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right.
You're welcome.
Question number 4. What did God say to Ezekiel about Israel at that time?
What about 2:1-5?
Okay. Good evening, Miss Kathy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Go ahead. Good, you got the floor? Go ahead, read that answer for you. For us.
Here I go. It says, Ezekiel 2:1-5, stand up, son of man, said the voice. I want to speak with you. The Spirit came into me as he spoke, and he set me on my feet. I listened carefully to his words. Son of man, he said, I am sending you to the nation of Israel, a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have been rebelling against me to this very day. They are stubborn and hard-headed people. But I am sending you to say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. And whether they listen or refuse to listen, for remember, they are rebels. At least they will know they have had a prophet among them. Amen.
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 Okay, wait, I have a question. So how will the people know that they had, if they didn't listen, how would they still know that that was a prophet?
Well, anybody can answer Rebecca's question. Did I pronounce your name right?
Yeah. You would be, even though they weren't listening and they were rebelling, he was still speaking the truth of God. So that's how they knew he was a prophet. Because all of them were rebelling. They knew what the word said, but they weren't doing what the word said. He was doing and saying what God told him.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you saying because everything he said was God's word and it came true, that's how they knew?
Yeah. Yeah, even like I said, it's just like with somebody, like you know somebody that you know they're not telling you the truth, but you're listening to them, and then you say, oh, that's not true, but then you really know the truth, but you're not doing the truth. So when somebody tells you the truth, you understand, okay, well, they're totally different from me because they're doing and telling the truth.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Amen.
Yeah,
any other answers? Any other comments? Answers? Go ahead. Read the footnote.
Okay. It says, the immortal God addressed Ezekiel by calling him son of man, emphasizing the distance between them. It is amazing that God chooses to work his divine will on earth through tonight. Imperfect beings, we are made from the dust of the ground. Yet God placed within us his life and breath and to ask us to serve him. We can only imagine what it was like for Ezekiel to experience this vision. Certainly there was much he did not understand, but Ezekiel knew that each part had significance because it came from God. When God saw Ezekiel's open and obedient attitude, he filled Ezekiel with the Spirit and gave Ezekiel power for the job ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And God doesn't expect us to understand everything about him, but to be willing and obedient, a willing and obedient servant, faithful to what we know is true and right. And then it says the business world defines success in tennis of giving customers what they want. Ezekiel, however, was called to give God's message to the people, whether they would listen or not. The measure of Ezekiel's success would not be how well the people responded, but how well he obeyed God and thus fulfilled God's purpose for him. Isaiah and Jeremiah also prophesied with little positive response. See Isaiah 6, 9, and 12, Jeremiah 1, 17 through 19. God's truth does not depend on how people respond. God will not judge us for how well others respond to our witness to our faith, but how faithful we have been. And God always gives us the strength to accomplish what he asks us to do. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So it's like the Holy Spirit, I would suspect, and we know what's right and we know what's wrong. And it's up to us to be willing to do what God says. Ms. Rogers said that we know what we're supposed to do, but are we willing to do it? We know the word, and we know what we're supposed to do. We know what the word is saying. We know, and we have to be willing to do it. Okay. Right?
All right. Say that. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Number five. All right. Any more comments or questions? Okay,
did
that one question.
Question.
Yes.
I want to know if that's right. That answer her question.
It sounds pretty much positive to me. That's what I would say so.
What was the answer to the question?
The answer to the question was, you read 1 through 5, didn't you, Kat?
1 through 5. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I had 2 through 5.
I wanted to know, how did the people know that their prophet was among them if they weren't listening? But you answered the question.
Okay. That's
how it's going to
fit. Right. It's a mixture of what Kathy and what Reese said, because when they would hate the prophets, because when the prophets would come and speak, the Lord would speak through them. You remember when Peter preached that first sermon and the people's hearts were pricked by the Holy Spirit? That's why you always have to let the Lord do his work. You speak the word, and the Lord will make the word work on the person that you're speaking it to. You don't have to make it work. You can't make it work. But the Lord will make it work. Where they won't hear you, they will hear him. That's why we always have to plant seed. So he would speak to them about stuff they were doing. They knew they were doing it. And they knew they were, remember when Jeremiah did it, he told them about their stuff. They said, you know, we need to kill him. So they took him and threw him into a cistern, and he's sinking down in the mud. And your boy Ebed-Melech had to go and let the king know. They tried to kill your boy. And they got him up out of there. Yeah, so that's, you know, so, yeah, it's a mixture of those two between Reese and Kathy. what they were saying is that one of the ways you knew a prophet was for real is that what he said happened. Okay, but a lot of them sometimes outlived the fulfillment of, they didn't live to see the fulfillment of their prophecy, but it was still reckoned to them as prophecy that's from the Lord, because if you start out with the sovereign Lord says, the words that follow better be his. Whenever we say the Lord said, be sure that the Lord said that, or I don't know, would be a whole lot better than to say the Lord said, but he didn't say that. Because, like the Job's deal, the Lord said, you have not spoken on my behalf. If you want to live, have Job pray for you, because you said stuff I did not say. You lied on me, so I'm going to have to take you out. Have Job pray for you, then we'll be straight. But if not, I'm going to have to wrap you. So, awesome stuff here. It's got the Lord. Yeah. Grabs anybody he wants, fills them with his Holy Spirit, and they speak for him. But you need to have this happen before you start going and speaking, or you end up like the seven sons of Sceva. You know, you really don't have that connection with the Lord, and Satan them ain't stupid. They know who's, well, they stupid because they're rebelling against God. But when it comes to being evil and crazy, they're super evil and crazy. And they know when you don't know God like your mouth saying you do. And they will hurry up and go get permission slips to try you on what came out of your mouth.
Right.
Or what comes out of God's mouth about you. In Job's case, he wasn't bragging on himself. God was. And Satan sought permission to try what God said about Job. So when we start talking about what kind of Christian we are and Satan hear that stuff, well, then he run off and get permission slips to try that, what you said. For instance, I'm going to be in Bible class this year. 2023, I'm being Bible class. I'm doing home study. I'm reading all my lessons, reading all the questions, doing everything. Well, Satan heard that. And he'll get permission slips to say, well, Lord, you heard what they said. Can I have permission to not let none of that happen? And the next thing you know, you start out hard, and then all of a sudden, you don't do it no more. And then Satan goes before the Lord, be like, I told you. All I had to do was this, this, and this, and they will be out. You know how many people Satan got telling the Lord they're too busy for Bible class? They don't have the time.
Shot fired.
I have nothing else going on, so I got plenty of time for Bible class.
I was late, but I told my auntie I was working during the appointment, but I logged in. I'm clarified.
She texted me. Wednesday night.
I'm on my way.
Wednesday night at Running for Christ is because we had this Bible class, we had a Monday night class, we got Janice on Sunday, and the Lord looks and to see who's going to attend. You know, it's not like he's going to hate you, but Satan is always like, I bet you I can keep him out. If you let me have permission to do this, this, and this, they ain't going to no church school. What you mean? They're going to be asleep. So, you know, it becomes a challenge. Those are our tests. Those are our trials. Can we do this? Can we go to church on the radio and still be late? It's unbelievable. But, you know, like I said, he won't hate us. He'll just figure another way to try to get us to the place that we're going to be eternally before we get to eternity.
Yes. All right.
Okay. All right. Okay. If everybody pleased with that answer and the explanation?
Yes, sir.
Great. All righty. Any more questions or comments? Okay, we kind of moving behind a little bit. So anyway, but good answers and everyone. And I appreciate everybody's input. Question number 5. How many times did God tell Ezekiel not to be afraid or dismayed?
Well, my answer in question number. Go ahead, Eric. I was just saying my answer is in question number 6, and I only see it said the one time. Yes, each one, afraid and dismayed, was said one time each. So
I
man did not be able. Oh, go ahead.
I had 6, and I had 3.
Where do y'all see all them at?
I had 1, 2, 3 times.
I had 3 times. I had verse 6.
Yeah, I had 3 times too.
Okay.
Look at the footnote.
I can't see the footnote. Something on my tablet.
Footnote 3, 1 through 3.
Okay.
Go ahead, Eric.
What? I don't have my the footnotes or number 6?
Number
6.
Footnote.
Oh, no, I can't read the footnotes. I'm on the computer. I'm on my laptop.
I know you said number. You said number 6, so read number 6.
Whatever you say, ma'am, I got you. Son of man, do not fear them or their words. Don't be afraid, even though their threats surround you like nettles and briars, stinging scorpions. Do not be dismayed by the dark scoils, even though they are rebels. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay. And, you know, reading the footnotes of chapter 2, 6 through 8, it says right here, God gave Ezekiel the difficult responsibility of presenting his message to ungrateful and abusive people. Sometimes we must be an example to or share our faith with unkind people. Ain't that the truth?
Well,
the Lord told Ezekiel not to be afraid, but to speak his words, whether or not the people would listen. He also wants us to tell the good news, whether it's convenient or not. But that is so true, especially with certain people that think they know what they're saying by word of mouth, instead of actually really pinpointing the actual meaning of the scripture to tell somebody. But or ungrateful people, you know, it's like a lot of people would say, well, why do you believe in this and why do you believe in that? Well, I don't see this and I don't see that. You know, this is what Ezekiel was going through, and we go through that too, trying to get people close to Jesus, you know. Any comments on that?
I guess you don't have to always react to negative stuff, you know. If you react to things positively, then people are copy that way, you know.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, kill people with kindness, and if you show kindness, then people learn to be kind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any other comments?
Mm-hmm.
I guess no one has ever actually talked to a person that didn't understand where you were coming from, or they were rude.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's happened to me.
Okay. Yeah.
What? They were rude.
Yeah, just seemed like for no reason.
Right.
It seemed like for no reason.
Yeah, it depends on how you respond, because people can be rude. Because, like, now I don't even signs or stuff like that. I just say it's so much easier when God handles it.
Okay.
Yes,
it is. Yeah, it's so much easier when he handle it, and when you want to do something, you can't even do it because he holds you back. He just lets you know, well, I got this, and if you let him have it, then you don't even worry about it anymore. He handles it.
Yes.
Amen.
All right. Say that, Kathy.
Amen.
Yes. Yeah. Amen on that.
Yeah.
Amen.
You ain't got to say a word.
You can all say right. So much without saying anything.
That's it.
That's so true.
You can go on with your life. Let me do the next thing. And he got that. He already got it handled. It's funny, man. I don't say nothing.
Right.
I just feel that way. All right. Thank you so much. Okay.
Nope.
Any more comments on that question there? Okay. Question number six. What was written on the scroll?
Chapter 2, verse 10.
All right.
When she unrolled, and I saw that both sides were covered with funeral songs, words of sorrow, and pronouncements of doom. Amen.
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 Oh, that was a very deep scroll that information was written down. What was going to happen to...
First he said it had a sweet taste to it, too. I'm like, wow. After they said this at the bottom, funeral song, the words of sorrow, and pronouncements of doom, I'm like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That struck me, too, Deacon Eric, but I remember
right.
In Proverbs it says that the words of the Lord are sweet like honey, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But for whatever reason, I'm not going to read nothing to it. That's how they say it went down. That's how it went down.
It's often like that. And what that simply means is the Lord's word is wonderful. The Lord's word is awesome. The Lord's word is good. But sometimes the Lord's word is a pronouncement of judgment against people for what they're done, for what they're doing, or even planning to do. It's the same thing happened with John when he was on the island of Patmos, and the Lord gave him this vision or the apocalypse, this unveiling of things that have been previously hidden. That's what apocalypse means. So John writes this in chapter 10. So I went to the angel and told him to give me the small scroll. Yes, take it and eat it, he said. It will be sweet as honey to your mouth, but it will turn sour in your stomach. So I took the small scroll from the hand of the angel and I ate it, and it was sweet in my mouth. But when I swallowed it, it turned sour in my stomach. Then I was told, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, languages, and kings. So what was happening here is, if you look at verse 10, this is followed by chapter 11, where we get a mention of the two prophets who are operating on earth and what happens with them. And then we get to chapter 12, where Satan is finally cut off from God and can no longer meet together with the sons of God when God calls them in. And then he focuses on the earth because he got 3.5 years left, which leads us to chapter 13. And that's when what John read about was chapters 13 to 19, or actually 20. And so it was a revealing and an unveiling of what's yet to come, because he's told to prophesy about the remaining 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation period. And boy, if the first 3.5 years weren't bad enough, chapters, what, 7 through 8, or maybe even into 9. Then the last three, 14, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19 is even worse. It finally culminating in an unlivable planet. And everybody on it dead and going into judgment. And then chapter 20 happens. So, yeah, that's this. The word of God that he gives us, the gospel is sweet. But then it's kind of sour when you speak the gospel to somebody and they don't accept it. Or when you have to say to your son or your daughter, your lifestyle is wrong.
Yeah.
And then you hear Jesus saying, you cannot love me more than you love them. So that, so the word of God is sweet when we hear it, but as soon as we have to speak it to somebody who don't want to hear it, or we have to speak God's word to people who are, this is what the Lord says about that you're doing, okay? And we might have to speak that to somebody we love. So it's sweet when we hear it because we love the Lord, but then when we have to deliver it, well, that's another thing. Like Stephen, it was sweet to get all he got and give that wonderful speech before the Sanhedrin. But then it turned sour right after the speech was over.
Right. All right.
Deacon Oliver. Mother Irma.
Yes. How you doing, Mother Irma?
I'm fine, thank you. I've been listening. And now number 6, where it says 2, 9, I did 9 and 10, and then there's a footnote 9 and 10.
Okay. Would you mind reading that for us, Mother?
Okay, I'll just start at 9 over again since it's 2. Then I looked and saw a hand reaching out to me. It held a scroll, which he unrolled, and I saw that both sides were covered with funeral songs, words of sorrow, and the pronouncement of doom. Footnote saying, ancient books were usually scrolls, one page up to 30 feet long, rolled up simultaneously from both sides. Normally, scrolls had writing on only one side, but in this case, the warning overflowed to the scroll's other side, showing the full measure of judgment about to descend on Judah. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Yeah, they were getting ready to get the good snack down. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, number 7. We're going to get an answer to number 6. What was Ezekiel told to do with the scroll and its message?
I had Ezekiel 3:1-3.
Okay, Ezekiel 3. Sounds good.
All right.
Number 7, 1-3. 1-3.
Any other answers besides 1-3?
I had 1-4.
Okay.
And I had only verse 1.
Okay. Well, you know what we're going to do, family? We're going to take 1-4 so we get everybody. Can I see, would you read 1-4 for us, please?
The voice said to me, did you say Reese or who did you say read it?
Reese? Reese could read it. Or you can, Mother. It all depends. Who wants to read it?
This is Keela.
Oh, Keela, I'm sorry.
How everybody's doing tonight?
Now we're doing real good. Having a good time.
I hear.
Go ahead.
Okay. Okay. The voice said to me, "Son of man, eat what I am giving you. Eat this scroll. Then go and give its message to the people of Israel." So I opened my mouth, and he fed me the scroll. "Fill your stomach with this," he said. And when I ate it, it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. And then verse 4, then he said, Son of man, go to the people of Israel and give them my messages.
Okay. And I'm reading down here the footnotes of chapter 3, 1 through 3. In his vision, Ezekiel ate God's message and found this spiritual food not only good for him, but also sweet as honey. See Revelations 10, 8 to 10. For a similar use of this image, if you digest God's word, you will find that not only does it make you stronger in your faith, but its wisdom also sweetens your life.
Can I say
that again? Okay, I'm going to say that one more time. That God's word, you find, will not only does it make you stronger in your faith, but its wisdom also sweetens your life. You need to feed yourself spiritually just as you do physically. This means doing more than simple giving God's word a casual glance. You must make digesting God's word a regular part of your life. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Question number eight. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, we're eating our spiritual meat and vegetables together tonight. Yes.
Yes, we are.
Well, all right, then.
All right, we ain't got no cornbread.
Not tonight.
Oh, boy.
No, honey, I was on the radio. Okay, anyway.
You know, Ezekiel to get certain things and stir it up and eat it. I'm sure we can share that.
Yes, we can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we can. All right. Sure, any more answers to that question or any more comments? Okay. Number 8 is called Fill in the Blank. Then I came to the colony blank, a watchman for Israel.
Was that 15?
3.
Oh, my bad.
It says 3, 15, and 16. Then I came to the colony of Judea, exiles in Tel Aviv, besides the Kabah River. I was overwhelmed and sat among them for 7 days, a watchman for Israel. After 7 days, the Lord gave me a message. He said, Son of man, I have appointed you as a watchman for Israel. Amen.
What? 15. Oh, the question was number 8?
Yeah.
Yeah, fill in the blank.
Okay.
Oh, was it?
I'm just trying to see.
3, 15, 16, right?
Mm-hmm. I am 15 through 17.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's good, too. Yeah, 15
okay.
through 17 would be the legit answer.
Okay. I know it said a watchman for Israel. I just thought that's where you stop at.
Right.
Okay. Then and then. Yeah.
That's what I had. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
To 17.
Oh, okay. But whenever you Okay.
All right. Everybody satisfied with that answer? I'm filling the blank. Question number 9. What happened when the Spirit of the Lord came on to Ezekiel?
Chapter 3, 24 through 27.
I had 24 through 24 through 27.
Okay.
That's kind of what I had too. Thank you, Risa. I need your assistance.
That's what I had
too.
I know
if you're right, I'm right.
Oh shoot.
You know Pastor O got her back. You know she's gonna make her right.
Okay. Would somebody read chapter 3:24 to 27 for me, please?
Go ahead, Reese.
Oh,
Then the Spirit came into me and set Then the Spirit came into me and set me on my feet. He spoke to me and said, "Go to your house and shut yourself in. There, son of man, you will be tied with ropes so you cannot go among the people. And I will make your tongue stick to the roof of your mouth so that you will be speechless and unable to rebuke them, for they are rebels. But when I give you a message, I will loosen your tongue and let you speak. Then you will say to them, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. Those who chose to listen will listen, but those who refuse will refuse, for they are rebels.'" Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah. Right. I'm reading those footnotes down there. It says 24 to 27, Ezekiel was allowed to speak only when God had a message for the people. Thus, the people knew that whatever Ezekiel said was God's message. They did not have to wonder whether Ezekiel was speaking by God's authority or his own. Check that out.
Okay. Now, I don't know if I'm supposed to take this literally or not, but verse number 27, "But when I give you a message, I will loosen your tongue and let you speak." So I'm assuming literally he's just saying when he has something to say, he'll tell him what to say. Not that he'll actually his tongue. Yeah, okay, cool. All right. Case closed. Next thing. We go to the next one.
Okay, you know, that kind of reminds me of who was that was that John the Baptist's father that couldn't speak?
Hold on, my man couldn't speak until he was born. Until his son was born. That might have been John.
Yeah.
That might have been John the Baptist.
It was the
right. That was Zachariah.
Zachariah's
father. Right. But he had to question the angels. Ability or power to do that. He said, "Well, I'll show you how. You won't speak till the child is born. Then you'll know this message is true."
All right.
Okay.
Now,
that's a good
Ezekiel's
example.
Ezekiel's muteness lasted approximately 7.5 years. It lasted
after
the fall of Jerusalem. Now, he delivered several other messages in that intervening period. But the concept of muteness, therefore, was not one of total speechlessness throughout these years. Rather, Ezekiel was restrained from speaking publicly among the people, in contrast to the normal vocal ministry of the prophets. The prophets usually moved among their people, speaking God's message as they observed the contemporary situation. But Ezekiel would remain in his home, except to dramatize God's messages. He would remain silent, except when God opened his mouth to deliver a message. Then his mouth would be closed until the next time the Lord chose to speak. Instead, Ezekiel's going to the people had to come to him. Though the rebellious people's inability to reject Ezekiel's ministry, the elders started sneaking away to seek the Lord's message from Ezekiel as the contemporary world of events began vindicating his divine warnings. In other words, he only spoke when the Lord told him to, and when he didn't, he didn't. And this gave validity to his messages that they were from the Lord.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Amen.
Great explanation. Great explanation.
There's the footnote. Can I read the footnote?
Go ahead, Mother. Yes,
pretty
go
much
ahead.
Same thing. Same thing Pastor's already said, but Ezekiel was allowed to speak only when God had a message for the people. Thus, the people knew that whatever Ezekiel said was God's message. They did not have to wonder whether Ezekiel was speaking by God. Excuse me. They did not have to wonder whether Ezekiel was speaking by God's authority or his own.
Right.
Amen. Okay.
Yeah, that's what
right.
Pastor was saying.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mother.
Yeah, our high priest, our high priest was the same way, Jesus. The words that I speak
mm-hmm.
are not mine, but
mine,
the Father.
Father.
My Father.
Right.
Okay. Any more comments on that question? Moving to question number 10. What was the warning for the people of Israel?
1-4. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Chapter 4, 1-4.
Okay.
I could be wrong. That's just what I
think. 1-8.
1-8.
Okay.
I'll be 1-3.
I
yes,
get 1-3.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, so 1-3,
read for me Ezekiel chapter 4, 1-3.
And now, son of man,
take a large clay brick and set it down in front of you. Then draw a map of the city of Jerusalem on it. Show the city under siege. Build a wall around it so no one can escape. Set up the enemy camp and surround the city with siege ramps and battering rams. Then take an iron griddle and place it between you and the city. Turn toward the city and demonstrate how harsh the siege will be against Jerusalem. This will be a warning to the people of Israel.
Okay. Now, could someone tell me what was that symbolizing, what God told Ezekiel to do?
Hold on.
1-8 with that.
Okay. 1-8 explains that?
4-8.
4-8.
Now lie on your left side and place the sins of Israel on yourself. You are to bear their sins for the number of days you lie there on your side. I am requiring you to bear Israel's sins for 390 days, one day for each year of their sin. After that, turn over, lie on your right side for 40 days, one day for each year of Judah's sin. Meanwhile, keep staring at the siege of Jerusalem. Lie there with your arm bared and prophesize her destruction. I will tie you up with ropes so you won't be able to turn from side to side until the days of your siege have been completed.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That was cool.
Was that some form of punishment, the tying of them?
Or
yes.
That's just
how the tradition was. It was punishment for sins. Oh, yeah, sin, right. So, yeah, that's a punishment of some sort. Okay, I see now. Yeah, they're being rewarded the opportunity to do this because they sin.
And, Mother, I think you answered question number 11, what he had to do. As far as I'm lying on his back for 60 days. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, No, number 11 you said.
Yeah.
It said, what does Ezekiel, ask God not to make him do?
That's number 14.
That goes down to 14 to 17. Chapter 4, verse 14 to 17 for number.
Number 11?
If you take the 17.
No, because number 15
number 12.
Is, number 12 is number 15.
If you answer the 17, you're answering question 12.
Yeah.
11 is verse 14. 12 to 17.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so number 11, that's where we're at right now. What did Ezekiel ask God not to make him do? And the answer was, so we had 14.
I had 9 to 13.
I have 14 as well.
I got 14.
I got 14 too.
12.
Now, someone reads 14.
Then I said, O sovereign Lord, must I be defiled by using human dung? Well, I have never been defiled before. From the time I was a child, until now, I have never eaten any animal that died of sickness or was killed by other animals. I have never eaten any meat forbidden by the law. Amen.
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 Thank you.
And the footnote explains that, and it says Ezekiel asked God not to make him use human dung for fuel, because it violated the laws for purity, Leviticus 21 to 22 and Deuteronomy 23:12-14. As a priest, Ezekiel would have been careful to keep all these laws. To use human dung for fuel would paint a dramatic picture of ruin. If nothing was left in the city that could be burned, it would be impossible to continue to follow God's laws for sacrifices.
I was going to say, what is dung?
Waste.
Human waste. Wow. That's the first time I ever heard that word, to know that was feces. Yeah, I would have a little problem with that.
I think I'll do it.
Okay.
No, over in Africa, there's some people over there make dishes and everything out of dung.
Mm-hmm. I mean, overdone.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess you could say they got some crappy dishes, huh?
Excellent. Excellent.
That's a good one, Patrick.
Yes, sir, they sure do.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
That was a good one. Yeah, buddy.
I love it. And I don't see why people miss Wednesday Bible class. I don't understand why.
It's a good Okay, question number 12. What was the Lord's reply?
That's 15 now.
Okay.
15 to 17.
All right. I got 15 to 17.
15 to 17.
Yeah.
Of course, I only have.
Okay, well, why don't you run 16 and 17? I'm not understanding why that's in there.
Because it.
Read it.
He answered.
Yeah, read it. All right,
okay.
What was the Lord's
reply?
All right.
Okay, all right. The Lord said, you may bake your bread with cow, huh?
No, cow dung.
Okay.
Keep going, Aaron.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I heard somebody reading. Okay. Then he told me, son of man, I will make food very scarce in Jerusalem. It will be weighed out with great care and eaten fearfully. The water will be rationed out drop by drop, and the people will drink it with dismay. Lacking food and water, people will look at one another in terror, and they will waste away until their punishment.
What question are we doing?
Number 12. Okay, because see, all they want to know is what did the Lord say. The Lord said, I will not make you do it in human dung. You will do it in cow dung. And that was the end of the answer.
Well, that's number 12.
But he also explained to him.
They didn't ask for no explanation. They just asked, what else?
No. It said, what did he say? He said all of that. He said to do it in cow dung. Then he told me. Ezekiel said he told me, son of man. So the Lord.
The question: what was his reply? And this is what his reply was. His reply was, "You may bake your bread with cow dung instead of human dung." That's his reply. He done. That other stuff
was
not reading.
No.
They were adding the other stuff so you understand what the reply was to that.
That was part of his reply.
Okay, they didn't have to tell me. I just said, I'm just telling y'all what. He just wanted to respond. What was the reply? His reply is, look, I'm going to let you bake yours with cow dung instead of human dung. Bam, that's it. That was his reply.
At the end of that.
So if y'all want to read out a long, drawn-out dissertation, that's fine. I'm good with that.
But if you didn't read the verses ahead, what's the reason for eating cow dung?
Come on, and sister. Overall, you ain't got to get all technical.
Sister, overall
is right. Reese, you right, because y'all both got a connection to Pastor Overall, so I'm going to leave it alone.
Wait a minute. You his cousin.
Nephew.
You don't count. I'm a guy, so it don't count. You know, guys don't count. It's just women who count.
Oh, okay. We see how that is.
Right.
And Crystal said,
"Don't pay us no number, man, until he needs us to do something." That's all.
Did she say a complete thought?
Everybody's right, and it's great discussion for us to be having over God's word. Everybody's right on their interpretation of it. There we go. So now we're moving on to number 13.
Thank you.
Okay. Fill in the blank on question number 13. This is what the Southern Lord says. Blank, I gave her to follow.
Is it one word or is it? I
did
5 to 6.
That's what I did.
5 to 6.
Are you looking for one word? Or
you good words? With 5 and 6.
I have 5 and 8.
I have 5 and 6.
5 through 6. What's the first words and the last words?
That's
word.
Why I had 5 and 6.
This is what the sovereign
word
said.
This is the first
and the last words
the last
are,
word.
I gave her
the power to follow. Thank you, Pastor.
It's 5 and 6, though, right?
Yes,
yeah. Yeah. I know that Rishi got it right, and I got what she got. I'm good. I know that.
Oh, Lord.
5 and 6.
And everybody else know.
It says, this is what the sovereign Lord says. This is an illustration of what will happen to Jerusalem. I placed her at the center of the nations, but she has rebelled against my regulations and decrees and has been even more wicked than the surrounding nations. She has refused to obey the regulation and decrees I gave her to follow.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay.
Everybody's good with that answer?
Yes, sir.
All right. Question number 14. What was God's punishment for defying the temple?
I'm 11 through 13.
Lord,
I had
7 through
11.
What did you say, 8 through 12?
I had 7 through 11.
Let me see the question. What was God's punishment for defiling the temple?
So, Pastor, we need you to come in again.
Well, I say
okay,
7
what we looking
13,
at?
I want to see what 8.
We're looking at number 14.
What was God's punishment for defying the temple?
You would definitely start at 11.
11.
And probably go to
15.
I don't know. 14 is carries the description.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
Yeah, really, all the way to 15. So if you're asking the question, what is the punishment for defiling the temple, those punishments go all the way down to, what, 15?
Hold on. Pass off.
Yeah.
Hold on a minute. Why don't you start, look at verse 8, like she said. Verse 8 do start off kind of right.
Oh, I'm touched.
Well, when you get to the temple, though,
temple.
It says in verse 11, as surely as I
right.
live, says the sovereign Lord, I will
yeah.
cut off completely. I will show you no
oh,
fear
yeah,
at all because
temple,
you have defiled my temple with your vile images
okay.
and detestable sins. You could stop
right.
there, but then
that's
a
it.
Third of your people will die
yeah.
in the city, and it goes on to pronounce really all the way down to 17. So
yeah, I got 11 through
13. You go to 12 and you'll be good.
It's 13.
I
can't read my own writing. I'm 14.
To the end.
I just had 11 and then 15, I had 12 and 17.
Okay.
I had
11
through
13
for 14. So what is it
before
14?
11 through 15.
Question 14. And we went to
15.
Okay, all right. I had
13. Okay.
Well,
somebody, I'll read 11 through 15.
Y'all didn't believe me when I said it, right?
I said 15. No, I'm right there.
Well,
okay.
Go ahead and read.
As surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, I will cut you off completely. I will show you no pity at all because you have defiled my temple with your vile images and detestable sins. A third of your people will die in the city from disease and famine. A third of them will be slaughtered by the enemy outside of the city walls, and I was scattered third to the winds chasing them with my sword. Then at last my anger will be spent, and I will be satisfied. And when my fury against them has subsided, all Israel will know that I, the Lord, have spoken to them in my jealous anger. So I will turn you into a ruin, a mockery in the eyes of the surrounding nations and to all who pass by. You will become an object of mockery and taunting and horror. You will be a warning to all the nations around you. They will see what happens when the Lord punishes a nation in anger and rebukes it, says the Lord. Amen. Good brother and
sister. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good answer. All right. Going to question number 15, which wraps up. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Any more comments? Any comments on that?
No.
No. Okay.
No.
Last and final question as we wrap it up. What did God say about the deadly arrows of famine?
I said 5:16, and the reason why I didn't add 17 is because the question talks about the arrows and the famine, and not just the famine.
Okay. Would you read that for us?
It says, I will shower you with the deadly arrows of famine to destroy you. The famine will become more and more severe until every crumb of food is gone.
Thank you, Reese. I'm on your team this time, Reese. And along with the famine, wild animals will attack you and rob you of your children. Diseases and war will stalk your land, and I will bring the sword of the enemy against you, for I, the Lord, have spoken. So even though he threw the arrows out of the famine, he still had to explain to you about why the arrows were part of the famine.
Okay, Auntie, I'm going to disagree with you because the question was about the arrows and the famine.
No, you can't have it both ways. What did I tell y'all about the dog? Remember the dog? All he wanted to know was about the dog. And y'all wanted to add everything else to the dog.
No, you
don't want to add number 17 to your answer. You just want your 16 by yourself.
What was the question? The question says, what did God say
about the daily arrows of famine? So 15 said it. But 17 says, along with the famine.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to side with Mother Overall, with Reese and Avicius. Yeah,
as usual.
I was not looking for nothing different.
Oliver, you could step in, bro, Oliver, though.
Hey, you know what?
Oliver, you need a
hey, you know what? Everybody, go ahead, I'm sorry. No, everybody had a good answer. Everybody participated. Everything was on point, I have to say.
Oh, he really in the middle.
You know, because you know what? It just shows that spiritually we're eating this food, even though we both have our opinions as far as our answers
right,
and everything.
Right.
But everything coincides of what's actually really
what
being
the word
spirit.
Actually means.
Right. You guys are beautiful. Love you.
All
thank
right.
You.
And with that, you're closing on up and everything. You're going to close on up, Pastor. You got any announcements to say before we'll pray it out in closing?
Yes, sir. Next week, Deacon Mackey will be on the floor taking us through 6 through 15. I want to apologize to all the teachers because I had made a mistake and left out 6 through 10. And so I had to redo it earlier today, and I sent them out. And so, you know, check your emails because the schedule has changed again. And so you probably got, yeah, so if you're doing any teaching in Ezekiel, you got an email from me today. If you're up to teaching Ezekiel, you got an email.
Oh,
so get ready. Get ready to shift. Okay.
Come on, Pastor, not me.
Okay, who was in there? I don't know. You had to check your emails, but it was about five of y'all.
Pastor,
okay,
O, did you say?
Yes.
Did you say 6 through 15?
Well, he's going to be teaching 6 through 15, but he's only going to be doing 6 through 10, then 11 through 15.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. And Friday, Bring Back the Family with Deaconess Kathy Clyburn. You should join in, call in, communicate, have something to say. Get involved in the conversation, okay? Other than that, we can just sit back and just watch it keep falling apart, watch families just keep falling apart one after another. And I love what her slogan is, if we don't do something now, if we don't help our children today, then we're going to be victims of not helping them later because they're still going to need clothes, they're still going to need food, they're still going to want stuff, and you look like the stuff they want. So rather than having that happen, let's be proactive and get out there and do something up front. And then, you know, it's, don't think about it so overwhelming, like, I got to fix all the kids in Michigan and the United States. No, your block, block by block, amen, as simple as that.
Yeah.
And that takes the pressure off. Just try to do something in your block. Get involved. But one of the best ways to get involved is get involved in the conversation. So when this spring and summer comes and start doing things, you can get involved in that as well. Sarah's going to be preaching Saturday, okay, and Pastor Janet Tate's going to be preaching Sunday. And don't forget to do your homework on 2 Peter for Monday with Deaconess June Rogers. Loving that class. Amen. God's giving out something, y'all. He's revealing only to the church, because only we have the Holy Spirit to understand it. He's revealing what he's about to do. He raised his class up so he could word his church up so they would be ready for what God is about to do. I know y'all already see it. The weather's going completely crazy. California is about to drown. Okay, tornadoes breaking out in the winter. Okay, so, I mean, really, and Michigan in the 30s. And Michigan's in the 30s. In January.
Yeah.
Okay, so y'all know this stuff is not normal. We cannot allow this stuff to creep up on us like the world, because Jesus is telling us about the end times. It, for us, it's an apocalypse. It's an unveiling, a revealing of what's been previously hidden or not known. And so God is about to reveal some stuff in this class about the last days and how to deal with the false prophets and the naysayers. So do your homework on 2 Peter and get involved, and don't miss what God is trying to give you in that class, okay? Amen.
Amen.
Do you know we've had 34 mass shootings in January? In America.
Yeah.
34 already.
Wow.
That's
well,
when four
that.
Or more people are shot. Okay?
One time.
So we've had 34 of them already. So we need to get ready for these last days because, amen,
amen.
We want to be ready so we can live in the land of Goshen while God is tearing up Egypt. So it won't come near us. We want to be ready. Okay,
amen.
Dr. Welch, I am through. Appreciate you, my brother. Again, I apologize to you for messing that scheduling up.
That's okay.
And you all up under the bus. He had like last night to the day, wasn't it, to get ready for this on Monday night. Yeah, so he just found out Monday, and then he had to prepare the questions, then he had to read the chapters, and then conduct the class. And proud of you, my brother. You got to, you heard it Monday, you studied Tuesday, you produced it Wednesday. It's a done, well, actually Tuesday night, so it's a done deal. Thanks for a good work. Good work, my brother. Good work.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, you know what? I owe it all to my wife helping me out too. Because she participated in
it. Oh, well, you know, we know Dr. Welch is on that. You know Dr. Welch.
Oh, well.
You know Dr. Welch.
I didn't want to take all the praise, so, you know, I had to hit my wife up on there. She helped me out a lot on that. Yes, she did.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to thank everyone for their participation. Very good.
Can
class.
I make an announcement?
Yes, hello. Ma'am. Go ahead.
It's Mother Irma. I have an announcement, please. For the Maddox
yes.
Overwall family.
Oh, yeah,
we lost a cousin, Cheryl Hudson. There's a memorial on Monday, the 30th of January. It's at the Cora Funeral Home at Frazier and Schaefer. And the repast will be on Jefferson, 10249 Jefferson is the hall before you get to the drawbridge. And that's when
okay.
the repast will be about 2 o'clock. So
all
that's
right.
Monday the 30th. So if you can be there,
yeah.
please be
yeah.
there. Thank you.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Also, keep in prayer Nicole C. Brooks, Edward Johnson. Mm-hmm. That, you know, they're going through the procedures and everything's coming out good. We want to stay that way. Pray for Nico Gaston, that God give her some comfort in these days that she lived through, help her to,
okay.
you know, make it through the fight. And then don't forget to pray for Keila Freeman. Even though you heard her tonight, keep her in your prayers. And it was so good to hear her voice. Amen. And Sheila's brother, Dwayne Norwood, keep him in your prayers as well.
Okay.
That, you know, that the Lord, you know, have mercy and do what he's going to do in all these cases. So I'm praying for complete healing and restoration. With me, as long as a person is alive on this side of life, real quick, I'll tell you about an experience I had. My pastor grabbed me after church one time, Reverend Alfred L. Davis Jr., if you don't know. He took me down to Beaumont Hospital, down there on 13 Mile in Woodward somewhere. And we
right.
went to see one
yeah.
of the deacons. His name was Deacon Malone. And we got into the room, and he looked like a robot. He had so many machines plugged up for him. I'm like, oh, well, this is a wrap. He don't even know we're in the room. He don't even know he in the room. This is a wrap. But my pastor grabbed his hand and my hand, and he said, let's pray. I'm like, oh, okay. So we prayed. But I wrote him off. You know, I figured 5 minutes after we leave, they're going to call us, say, you need to come back. He passed away. But, well, 2 weeks later, okay, he grabbed me again after church. Let's go do some hospital visits. So we went to the hospital, and it's Deacon Malone. I'm in the room like I got the palsy, like I done just been paralyzed. Deacon Malone is standing, is in the bed eating. And I'm just staring at him, and he looks at me and say, hey, Doc, because Reverend Brown used to call me Doc, and he would be in there all the time. So he started calling, Bud. Hey, Bud,
mm-hmm.
how you doing? I'm like, you alive. I just blurted it out. And he smiled and laughed. If you knew him, you know his smile. And
oh,
I
yeah.
told my pastor, I'll never do yeah. that again. As long as somebody is on this side of life and that spirit is still in that body, if Jesus can get him off them machines and sitting up in bed eating on his own with no IVs, I look for that stuff when I go in the room because if I see too much of it, it's a wrap. So anyway, as long as these folks are on this side of life, you know, leave it up to the Lord to decide what he's going to do. But like David said to his servants, who knows? While the child was alive, I prayed, I fasted, and sought the Lord for mercy. But when it became clear that he wasn't going to be on this side, he's on that side, he won't come back to me, I'll go to be with him. I got to go on with my life. And so that's why I pray, no matter how sick people seem to be to me or to us, I pray because God can do anything. He can do anything. And I learned that the hard way. It was real embarrassing, but I learned it.
Amen.
Okay, I'm through.
Just real quick, I'm going to be sending pastors some job information that Jonathan sent me. They're going to, this one is for Palette. It's called Camp Palette, and they're going to be doing a hiring event on Tuesday, January 31st in Pennsylvania and Taylor, and they're looking for people, and they're looking for parolees and people that are on probation, and so they're, it's open to them. I'll be forwarding this information over to Pastor tomorrow to post on the job site.
All right.
You want to empty out your basement? Put them on the job site. They got we. I had one person who got a job off there tell me, you know, it was so many jobs on there, I never did get to the bottom of it. But all I heard was they got a job off of it. Okay.
Right. And this job starts at $60,000 a year.
Whoa.
Yes. Oh, Lord, I hope Sheila didn't hear that. Because she's going to come right in and talk about
me. Go ahead, you make a pallet.
Exactly. She had me out there building pallets, you know.
All right.
All right, Brother Deacon, we all yours now.
Okay. Well, we're going to play out of here and... we're going to pray on out and everything and get on with our lives and everything. Heavenly
All
Father.
All right, good brethren.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for a wonderful, extraordinary, wonderful Bible study that we had. We had a lot of food to eat and digest, and hopefully it didn't get sour in our stomach. We tasted sweet on our taste buds. But, Father, we thank you for the information that you put in the Bible for us to obey,
yes,
to learn, and to do it for ourselves and to give to others, Father. We thank you for that. And we ask that everybody today who are grieving over the deaths of the people that are in that mass shooting, Father, we ask that you heal their hearts, Father. Soothe their feelings, Father, because there's nothing worse than to know that when someone dies of violence, it's a very harsh thing. Like I said, Father, we don't understand the things that goes on and how you run things on this earth, Father, but we know that you have the answer and you have the problem solved far more than what we would understand. So, Father, we just ask that you just strengthen us through the Holy Spirit of doing your will more, and to getting out there and being able to give this information, this good food to other people, so they will have everlasting life. We ask these things in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right, boom. See y'all next time.
Pastor O?
Yeah.
You did shift me around.
Okay. You
I
did.
Thank you, though. I thank you.
That's why I tell y'all.
That's
why I tell y'all read the whole book, because I might need you to sub. Well, Rebecca is the new substitute teacher, so she's gonna be subbing wherever she's needed. So, yeah. So anyway, read the whole book. That way, you're prepared to teach any chapter in the book.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm
okay.
Ready. I'm good.
I found a new song, and if you know my email address, email me and tell me if you could tell me. It's two men. One is singing the song, the other is featured on the song. See if you can tell me who they are.
I knew God was with me. I always used to pray. My prayer was I asked God to not to let the devil kill me out here while I was in the streets before I could get back. But I said, if you give me one more chance at life and music, I promise you, I'm going to shout you out, and I'm going to testify, and we're going to have a little church up in there.
Waking up, thanking God, every day is feeling just like Sunday. Wife is fly, by my side,
green light, everything is going my way. Riding clean, living dreams. Just left the barber and I'm feeling like Midas. Heard him say, give him praise. What's in the water got you acting like this? Ain't a day gone by that I don't try to thank the Lord up above. And if you wonder why I'm loving life, I'm close and I tell you what's up. Ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed. Yes. Living every moment, no regrets. Smile up on my face, I'm like, oh, yes, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed. Yes. Ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed. Yes. Living every moment, no regrets. Smile up on my face, I'm like, oh, yes, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed. Yes. Playing cards, laughing hard. Barbecuing, waking up the whole block. Music loud. Turning out, little kids are breaking out the bus stop. Life is good, really good, and every moment, no, I can't forget. I gotta say, I won't change. You're the reason that I am like this. Ain't a day go by that I don't try to thank the Lord up above. And if you wonder why I'm loving life, come close and I tell you what's up. Ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed. Yes. Living every moment, no regrets. Smile up on my face, I'm like, oh, yes, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed. Yes. Ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed. Yes. Living every moment, no regrets. Smile up on my face, I'm like, oh, yes, I'm blessed. Yes, I'm blessed.
Throw my power in prayer. You had no idea. God is all.